This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you're a night owl on the West Coast, anyway, or a really, really, really early riser back east, the lunar eclipse tonight is apparently going to be really something. A blood moon is what it's called. It's going to be all crazy shades of orange and red. Green, though, is the lunar color associated with this next item. How, back in the 1960s, NASA convinced Americans to spend the money it would take to get to the moon and back. One word. You guys, marketing. David Meerman Scott and Richard Jurek, space aficionados and marketing professionals to boot, have a new book out about exactly that. It's called Marketing the Moon, the Selling of the Apollo Lunar Program. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kai. Great to be here.
First question has to be, why did they have to market the moon? I mean, come on, it's like NASA and people love it and we're going to the moon.
Jeez, well, in the 1960s, it was just a radical idea. I mean, can you imagine deciding that we're going to send 12 people to the surface of the moon and that it's going to cost 4% of the national budget and 2% of the national workforce for a decade? So we had to sell it.
Well, when you put it that way, I kind of get it. Who were they selling to, Rich?
Well, I think the main thing is that they were selling it not only to the American people but to the world. I mean, at the time, you have to remember that the Soviets were also involved in the space program. Their launch of Sputnik really pushed us into space in a big way. And the United States made the unique effort to do it as an open program. So both success and failure had happened at the same time. And so it was really the vanguard of real-time communication happening with, the whole world watching.
Talk to me about television for a second, because we've all seen the footage, either those of us who remember it or those of us who've seen it on YouTube, of Walter Cronkite and all those network anchors. I mean, this was the, some amazing percentage of televisions were tuned to CBS watching this thing. But that went on through the program, or at least through a good chunk of it.
Yeah, it did. It was live television, and the interest of the press was phenomenal. There were something like 3,500 press credentials issued for the Apollo 11 launch, and an equal number of people who were in Houston during the mission itself. And they loved to talk about this program. And many science reporters were focused on it, but then also human interest reporters and so on, talking about the space program.
So here's the cynical question, though, right? The cynical question is, how much did NASA play the American media? I mean, yes, it's a huge story, but come on.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it playing the media. The brilliance of what NASA did at the beginning is they focused on what we would call today brand journalism and marketing speak. They hired a bunch of ex-journalists. They knew how to create content, not spin stories, not sell something in the traditional sell sense. So they were able to package the news, and I say that not in a pejorative sense, but in a real positive sense, in such a way that it could slip into the news stream of the day. And folks like Walter Cronkite and all the others in the media felt a kinship to that. They were speaking their language. So it really helped communicate to the world as opposed to just sell the story.
And the other aspect of that that fascinates me as a marketer is that Boeing and IBM and Raytheon and Omega watches and basically anything that was used in the space program had an interest in getting their little part of the story out.
We have exactly
press kits from people who made bolts.
and a word here about product placement. I think if you go out on the street today and say Tang to anybody, 8 out of 10 people will say, oh, yeah, it's that orange drink stuff that the astronauts took to space,
Absolutely. I mean, it was amazing how everyone wanted to be on the bandwagon. Stouffer's fed the astronauts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it may not have flown on the mission, but Stouffer's was served in the Manned Spacecraft Center, so it allowed them to market that they were feeding America's astronauts. So everybody got on board.
Here comes the forward-looking question then. America's space program, as you know, is in, I think, to be kind, we could say it's in a state of flux.
In a state of Earth orbit.
Earth orbit, that's right. Yeah,
shall
exactly.
we say.
Is there an amount of marketing that could be put together to convince America that going either back to the moon or to Mars or landing on an asteroid would have the same odds of success as did this Apollo effort.
Yeah, you know, from my perspective, the interest in space is really at a peak. You have movies like Gravity, you have the rebirth of Cosmos as a television series. And, you know, it begs the question, are we going to spend our days playing with that technology in our pockets that's about 5 million times more powerful than the Apollo spacecraft just playing Candy Crush, or are we going to harness that power to solve the biggest problems of our time? And I think that's the legacy of Apollo, is our ability to achieve if we all focus on a common goal.
It is a book called Marketing the Moon, The Selling of the Apollo Lunar Program. It's by David Meerman Scott and Richard Jurek. Guys, thanks very much. I enjoyed the book.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.